Hi, this is Harry James. I'm the drummer for Thunder and Magnum, and you're listening to Focus on Metal. Enjoy.
Hey, metalheads, this is Scott.
And Richie.
And we're bringing you another weekly dose of Focus on Metal. How are we doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Cool.
Down for some more discussion.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's cold New England weather.
Yeah, very cold. That's warm in here. That's why I'm down. But yeah, one of our listeners a while back on Facebook, I think Douglas James, I think it was, he hit me up with a couple of topics to talk about, and one of them I thought we'd never see.
Uh-huh.
Would ever see the light of day, and I was like, nah, I'm not going to talk about that.
Uh-huh.
And it was, do you ever think Guns N' Roses will reform? Right? Now, of course, they've announced dates and they're reforming, right? What's your take on all of that? Did you ever think it would happen?
Yeah, I figured if the money was right that it would happen.
Money.
But I also didn't think it would ever be the actual reunion.
Oh, the Appetite lineup, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, I mean, come on, that's what everybody wants.
Well, I've been thinking about this, and I can see that that'd be the preferred lineup, of course, will be if Steven and Izzy were in the band.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But for, I think a lot of people, when they saw Guns N' Roses, it was Gilby Clark and Matt Sorum.
Yeah, I'm sure there is a fair chunk of people that's true. But, you know, you go back to looking at it a different way, which is kind of how I'm looking at it, which is the music. And, okay, if November Rain is your favorite Guns N' Roses song, then, yeah, that's what you're thinking. That's the lineup you want to see. But I think there's a huge chunk of GNR fans that they're all based on the Appetite album or, you know, the Spaghetti Incident, you know, and, you know, GNR Lies type stuff, and not Use Your Illusion 1 and 2.
Well, I think even Slash and Duff are probably more Appetite than they are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
1 and 2. 1 and 2 is, a lot of that is Axl Rose's baby.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I kind of base it as, you know, that's, you know, you discover that band with, you know, things like Welcome to the Jungle and then obviously, you know, Patience and Sweet Child of Mine but you know, everything on that first on Appetite is solid. I mean, the whole album front to back was just an amazing freaking album.
It is a great record. It is a great record.
And it was crazy because when I remember when it first came out and nobody could have given a shit.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember like the girl that I was living with. She hated it. She absolutely freaking hated it. Couldn't stand it. And then, like a year later, she's like, yeah, this band, they're awesome. I'm like, that's the band you hated.
Yeah, but you wouldn't call them, when you look at the first album, Appetite, it wasn't very radio friendly. Like, It's So Easy was never going to be played on the radio.
Yeah, yeah, or My Michelle.
Or My Michelle.
Or at least without taking out a little, like, couple bars in there, yeah.
Yeah, like, when you look at, I think that came out in 87, when you look at what they were playing against, like, okay, Aerosmith, The Pernification, but you had Poison, you had Cinderella, you had Def Leppard.
Yeah.
And then you had this, for, you know, rock and roll band called Guns N' Roses who were really nothing like them.
Yeah.
And I think, what was the song? Was it Sweet Child of Mine that broke them? They had actually had a few singles before that really didn't do much. Or was it Welcome to the Jungle?
Well, it was Welcome with that, you know, with Tom's Is Hot getting MTV to play it, you know, once at like, what, midnight or something.
Yeah.
And people just like freaking lit up on it.
Yeah.
So that's really what broke them as far as on MTV, which is what broke them everywhere.
Yeah, but I think they were another band that I think the UK got them a lot quicker than the US market got them.
Yeah, I think so. And I even think, you know, video-wise, which at that point, that's how you broke a lot of bands, that you look at how that band looked in the video for Welcome to the Jungle.
Mm.
And then you look at how they look like Sweet Child and Patience. And they're actually a little bit, at least Axel, is a little bit more glammy in the Welcome video.
Yeah, the hair. Yeah, definitely.
You know.
Did you see that tour with Metallica and Guns N' Roses?
No.
You never went? Did they play in the area?
They did.
Okay. Faith No More opened, didn't they?
That was at, wasn't Gillette then. I can't remember what the hell it was called at that point, but that's where they played.
Okay, so the stadiums.
Yeah.
Yeah, so who do you think had to swallow their pride more? Axl or Slash?
Oh, Axl.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Why?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Why?
Because Slash is just easy going. He would have been like, yeah, all right, if it duffs in and yeah, and you're not going to be a dick, all right, I'll do it.
So why do you think Slash is doing it? I have a theory.
You have a theory?
I have a theory.
I think he's doing it just because he's like, all right, fuck it. I mean, the fans want to see it. The fans have stuck with me with everything else I've done so far. So, yeah, all right. I owe it to people. I'll go and do it.
All right. I think that's a big factor. But I think another factor is, didn't he recently get divorced? Isn't this a big payday?
Oh, I don't know. Did he get recently divorced? I don't follow that part.
No, he
of,
did. He did. I think he recently got divorced. Huh. So if you can imagine now that for years and years and years, they've been throwing money at these guys to get back.
Yeah.
And they're playing stadiums that they're going to fail.
Yeah.
Like people want, they're one of the biggest bands from that era that has never reformed.
Yeah.
And it's a huge payday.
Yeah. Well,
Women are expensive.
Yeah. yeah, definitely. No matter what age they are, they're expensive. But I don't know.
I'm surprised.
Axl just can't freaking do it anymore. No, that's the thing.
I know. Yeah. And they've got to come out on time.
You know, Duff is top notch. Slash is top notch.
Well, Duff is sober.
You know?
And he does the kickboxing and he's super fit and he's lucid. He writes for the Seattle, I think he writes for the Seattle Times, a newspaper.
Yeah.
He wrote his own autobiography.
Yeah, it's a great book.
Yeah, it is a good book. Slash is sober as well.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little bit surprised in a way that Slash is doing it because, you know, he's doing pretty well with Miles Kennedy.
Yeah, but again, I think it goes, to me anyways, I think it goes back to the fact that all those fans that, you know, supporting his solo stuff and just everything he does, he knows it's because he was Slash from Guns N' Roses and everyone appreciates his playing and they just follow him. So, you know, why not give the fans, you know, whatever they want?
Yeah,
if they want this, then that's fine.
So how do you think this came about? Do you think that like Axl and Slash sat down somewhere and had a drink, or do you think it was all management and lawyers and all that shit?
Oh, it was probably management and lawyers.
Yeah, yeah. I just, the whole thing reeks of corporate.
I mean, you've had instances of Duff showing up and appearing with, you know, on a GNR show and things like that. So I think that's what's kind of spurred a lot of the rumors on over the years was that kind of stuff. But yeah, of course, lawyers have to have their payday for everything.
Yeah. And then you look at some of the packages. I think one of the packages is like $1,500 and
it's freaking nuts.
You're not even meeting the band. I'm like, come on.
You just get a guarantee that Axl won't jump off the stage and hit you.
Yeah. It's one of the, I think like you're probably getting the first five rows and they give you like a bag with a t-shirt and stuff in it. $1,500.
Yeah,
like,
screw that.
No, you're talking about Axl. He is the loose cannon in the whole thing because I don't think vocally he can do what he did years ago.
Yeah.
Of course, Slash, still a great player. Duff, solid.
Yeah. I also don't think that he's as dynamic a stage presence as he was.
No,
you know?
Definitely not.
I mean, that guy would come out and like you knew he was there, you know? And you see a lot of the stuff with the former GNR lineup, and it's kind of like, in some cases, is he just phoning this one in?
Yeah, but I think a lot of people, when they went to see Guns N' Roses in their heyday, they didn't know what they were going to get.
Oh, you didn't know what you were going to get?
No, but now it's going to be structured, it's going to be regimented.
Yeah.
The danger is gone.
Yeah.
They're all a lot older than they used to be.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're more mature than they used to be. And there's no unexpected about any of this anymore. I think once they play the first show or the first couple of shows,
yeah, the set
list
the
is
set.
Set list is out there.
Yeah.
It's all over.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna pay that money to go and see him.
No.
you know, I just think it's like anything in the music business now. It just reeks of corporate. Well,
the other part of it, too, that, I mean, so it's an expensive ticket, right? And then to me, I know this is going to sound wicked pompous, but you're going to go there, and there are going to be people there that have not gone to a show for like 20 fucking years. And they're going to act in the suits. Same way that they acted 20 years ago. And you're going to be going, really, like, get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you see that, right? You see it when you go to Metallica. There's people that the last show they went to was the last Metallica show. And they just, like, they're not even in the music. They're being idiots.
Yeah.
You see it on AC/DC shows. You see it on Rolling Stones shows. And it's like, oh, man, it just sucks. You know, then you go to like some of the other shows that we go to, and you know that these are people that go to shows all the time. Like they're really into like just into music, and it just makes for just a much better atmosphere too.
Well, a lot of the shows are sponsored.
Yeah.
So how many thousand people do you have who know someone or know someone or know someone?
Yeah.
Didn't even buy the ticket.
Yep.
I think, like, even when you when you're talking about back in the glory days of hard rock and metal, like, you know, you're talking late 80s, early 90s, there was effort involved in getting to the show. You had to queue up to get the tickets. You were invested in it.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, I just have to make a phone call. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've got two tickets for you. You can start, you know, here's your buffet behind you and your beer and everything. And I'm like, that's not a fucking rock show. You know,
I do enjoy being able to go online and grab a ticket rather than like waiting in line all night.
Yeah, well, the only thing I'll say now that I'm older is I like to sit down.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I'm nearly 45 now. My knees aren't the same as they used to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, other than that, I don't care, you know, about the rest of the crap at the shows. But I hate just being on the floor or somewhere and turning around and you're seeing all these suits and they don't even give a fuck who's on the stage and all that. And
they're on their Blackberries and shit. Yeah, and they're not even watching.
You're going to get this at this GNR thing. You're going to get all these people that are going to go to this show and they're going to want, they'll know three songs.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to play any Chinese Democracy?
Oh, fuck no.
Why?
Because no one wants to hear it.
Yeah, but who owns the rights to the name? Axl does.
Yeah.
So he might say, look, he could have that in the contract. I'm going out as Guns N' Roses, so you got to play Guns N' Roses material. He might throw one or two in there. Interesting to hear Slash play them, though.
You know, but if you ponied up all that money to see the GNR reunion, that is not what you want to hear. You just don't.
Yeah, but Axl is a stubborn fuck.
Oh, I know.
And he might put his foot down and say, look, you guys can come back in the band and we'll play 95% of the classic material. I want one or two tracks in there that I recorded on Chinese Democracy. He could easily do it. I can see. And you know what? It wouldn't surprise me at all if he insisted on it. Because I think that's the kind of guy he is. Like, it took him 20 years to release a record.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, he tried touring with that current lineup. I mean, from what I understand, it was not the gangbuster successful tour. They didn't play a lot of dates. And, you know, I think from his end, he was kind of like, oh, geez, I guess I need those other personalities in the band. And he had good players.
Yeah, I think outside the U.S., he did dates. I think in the U.S., there was a lot of blank stares at him. Like, really? You wait this long to bring out a record? And I think the one thing that a lot of people did was they looked at him and went, holy fuck, look at the state of Axl Rose.
Yeah.
Because he was overweight.
Yeah.
And then he started pulling all the I'm coming on late shit.
Uh-huh.
And they're thinking, did you not learn 20 years ago when was it St. Louis? When they wrecked the fucking place that you shouldn't really do that anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. You would think that I'd be excited about a GNR reunion. I'm just not.
I'd be more excited if it was Steven and Izzy. Definitely Izzy. Izzy had a huge part in that band's early career.
Yeah, big time.
And by all reports, he might have a limited role. Now, what the fuck that means, I have no idea. Whether he'll come out for one or two songs and then look at them and say, I'm out of here. I don't know, but it'd be nice if Izzy was in it. It would be nice if Steven's in it. And Steven has always wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Which is good for him, you know. But yeah, it'd be nice if they... You know, if they go out and play all of Appetite.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple of songs from Use Your Illusion. Give the fans what they want.
Yeah.
Like, when I say I think Axl might want him to play a couple of Chinese Democracy songs, right? That's the fans will probably won't like that, but he's a stubborn fuck, and you know we'll see. Maybe Ash Slash might say, "I'm just might put his foot down and say no." I reckon those contract negotiations were a lot of fun to be around.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
but big payday. The tour goes well. Of course, you're going to hear new material, blah blah blah.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But I don't know. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, no. I'm not forking out the money to see it. I think some of the packages they're offering are, I think packages nowadays for stadium shows like that, like you're not even guaranteed to meet the band and you're forking out that amount of money. That's ridiculous.
That's just nuts.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and you reminded me too. I actually have, you know, that Guns N' Roses Metallica tour.
Yeah,
I actually have Charlie Benanti's all access pass for that tour.
Okay, how'd you manage to get that?
There's a story behind that, but I do.
Okay, nice.
Forgot that I have that, but I do.
All right, okay. No, I never actually asked you, did you go to the show when I toured over here? Yeah.
Yeah, even at that point, you know, there was a lot of, at that point, word on the street, you know, it wasn't really internet stuff. It was word on the street of like, you know, it could happen, it might not happen, you know, that type of thing, you know, and so, yeah, it had a lot of shitty press to it.
Yeah,
you know,
be interesting to see now who they bring out on tour with them.
Just a quick editor's note here: at the time we recorded this discussion, they had not yet announced that they were bringing Alice in Chains out on tour with them.
Maybe they might probably, I don't know, Rival Sons, or I think Rival Sons are out with Sabbath. You know, will they play 3 hours themselves and say we're not bringing anyone else out?
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
But they've often done long shows.
Unless they bring out, they do it with, you know, Duff comes out with Loaded, and then Slash comes out with the Conspirators.
Then no, that's never going to happen, because then you're gonna ruin the
Holy
moment.
Holy crap! No, that freaking vocalist is way better than me.
No, you only want to see Duff and Slash on stage with Axl. That'd kind of ruin the moment if they were already on stage and then.
That'd be cool, though.
It would be cool, but it's never going to happen.
No, but it would be cool.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people are, you know, how long will the tour go before they bail? I think they'll do all the dates. I think that there's so much money involved now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the contracts are watertight as regards time of show, time to end, everything. I reckon all the I's and all the T's are dotted on that.
I know who they'll
take out. There's no screwing around. Who?
I'm going to take out Motley Crue.
No. Fuck no.
I know we said it was the last tour, but we can't miss this, man.
No. Please, God, no. Jesus Christ.
And then Axl doesn't have to worry about somebody singing better than him.
No, they'll take out Vince Neil solo.
Still the same thing. He doesn't have to worry about someone singing better than him.
Yeah, anyway, so I just wanted to talk a little bit about the GNR reunion.
Yeah,
and that they're her thoughts on it. If you're gonna go, I hope it goes well, and hope it's an enjoyable show. I'm definitely not gonna fork out the money to go see that.
Yeah.
I think if one of these bands that I think you had to see back in the day,
sure.
I think there's too many ifs and buts about now,
yeah,
especially about Axl's vocals. And if he's not up to scratch in the very start with YouTube and the way the social media and all that,
yeah,
it's going to go downhill very, very quickly.
It will. And I guess what works against him is the fact that, I mean, the dude's an icon, right? I mean, somebody like Don Dokken can go out there and they'll tune down and he can sort of kind of get in there and do it. And some people will go, well, he can't sing the way he used to. And other people go, oh, we'll give him a pass. You know, he's older and all that. But then you get to like Axl. I mean, Axl is an icon. You know, Don's a great singer. You know, he was, you know, huge in the day and all that. But he's not iconic. There's a much bigger expectation.
I think when you talk about Don Dokken, Don even admits he can't sing.
Absolutely.
Stuff. I don't think Axl Rose will ever admit that
he can't sing it.
And it's going to be pretty obvious very quickly whether he can do it or not. You know, they might have to down tune a little bit. Maybe, you know, get the women to do some of the backing vocals, like Motley Crue, some backing tapes and stuff like that. But I do know that a couple of guys in the Dead Daisies that were played in the GNR lineup, they've left the Dead Daisies.
Yeah.
So, like, the word on the street is that they're going to be part of the reunion, backing up Duff, Slash and Axel, which is great for them.
Yeah.
You know, good for Doug Aldridge, too. He's gone into the Dead Daisies to fill their role. But, yeah, shows are coming. I'm sure the first show will be when it's over, or even as it's on. The old interweb will be exploding. Oh,
yeah. People will be tweeting
G&R out. Fans, what are they playing? How bad? The question they're going to ask is, how does he sound?
Yeah.
I'm sure Slash will nail it. I'm sure Duff will nail it.
Yeah.
I'm sure the band will nail it.
Yeah.
It's how Axel fares.
Yeah.
Like the spotlight's back on. Spotlight's actually on him even more now than it was when he was in the band himself.
Yeah.
Doing Chinese Democracy. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Slash is a... can go back to Miles Kennedy.
Right.
And do pretty well.
Yep.
And this is it.
Doing great for himself anyway.
This is it for Axel, because once he's done this, he can't go back and do GNR again without these guys.
Right.
So I think this is it for him, and I think he knows it.
So I think I have two scenarios that I think I'm going to predict are going to happen. One of the two is going to happen. One, he's going to come out, he's going to shock the shit out of all of us. Just be spectacular. Just pull it out of his ass. And fucking spectacular.
If he's not motivated to do it now, he's never going to fucking do it.
The other option is that he won't, because he just really can't anymore. So what he's going to do is he will go back to the fucking bullshit behavior, and people will go to the shows just to see what the hell he's going to do next.
Yeah, but the guys in the band... Izzy and Slash, they're going to know in rehearsals whether he can do it or not anymore.
Yeah, but like you said, the contracts at this point, they're probably pretty watertight.
Yeah, true.
Right?
True.
And so they're just going to be like, oh.
Hey, I'll be looking, right. I'll be keeping an eye on it anyway. You know, yeah. It's one of the biggest news stories in rock music this year.
Yeah.
Besides people dying. It's true.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, what other band are bigger than Guns N' Roses are going to reform this year? None.
That's right.
This is the biggest reformation of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. So unless Molly Crew decides they're going to keep going.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No.
But anyways, we got a great show this week, and we're going to dive into that right after Track of the Week.
Track of the Week this week comes to us from the Great White North via Germany. Yes, Track of the Week this week is from Canadian band Saracen, and they put out their second album, and it came out via Pure Steel Records. There you go. There's your Great White North via Germany deal. Anyways, these guys have been around since 1987. They put out their EP, Lay Down Your Guns, and then really didn't hear much from them. But they are back again after many years of being in inactivity. Only one original member left, that is Greg Beaulieu. But he has put together a new Saracen lineup, and he has dedicated this new album to founding bass player Rob Grant. He had died from cancer in 2012. So great new album from Saracen, like I said, out on Pure Steel Records. And just 9 tracks of classic heavy metal. Vocalist Michael Wilson in the band. A lot of times he's been compared to Ozzy Osbourne. And, you know, listening back to it, I can see why. So this is almost like listening to Black Sabbath once again. So I hope you guys will like this one. If you want to check out a nice review of this album, you can go to the Decibel Geek podcast site. You can, of course, find them at decibelgeek.com. And Phil Lazzotti did a really nice review of this album. Gave it a 7 out of 10. Good stuff. They even include a video of the track we are going to feature as Track of the Week this week. I am talking about the first track on the album. It's called The Hammer. So again, for Track of the Week this week on Focus on Metal, the band's name is Saracen. It's a self-titled album, and the track we're playing is called The Hammer. You want to find out more about these guys, you can go to saracen.ca. That is SARASIN.ca. Or you can also go to facebook.com/Saracen. Check them out. But here you go. This is The Hammer.
I'm
So this week, as you guys know from the title of the show and all that, is it's another Richie solo venture.
Mm-hmm.
And he is talking with the legendary stick man, Harry James.
Harry James from Thunder.
Yeah.
And Magnum.
Yeah.
And Snake Charmer.
Yeah.
And another drummer who's playing with multiple bands at the same time. He's two hands, but he's playing with three bands.
There you go.
Figure that one out. But yeah, he's been with, he has a long history with Thunder. He's been with the band since day one. He was with Terraplane before that, which was Luke Morley and Danny Bowes' band anyway.
Yeah.
Then they formed as Thunder, brought out an amazing debut album in the late 80s, I think early 90s, Backstreet Symphony. Of course, a good friend of the show, Mike Fraser, engineered and mixed that.
Yep.
And he's had a relationship with the band ever since then. And for people in the US who don't really know who Thunder were, they were a big band in England.
Yeah.
They were a big band. They were a Kerrang staple. They played Donington, which Harry will talk to Harry a little bit about. They were an arena band.
Yeah. And I've got, I mean, in my library, I've got, you know, a ton of Thunder stuff. And they are. They're a good, solid band. Just never, and you know, I like what they do. They just were never like my, like wow, like absolutely blew me away. But yeah, I've got a ton of their stuff, though.
Yeah, they're a band now that, you know, their sound is based on The Who, Led Zeppelin,
yeah.
Bad Company. Classic British rock bands.
Yeah, it's a pure British band.
You even hear a little bit of Status Quo there with the boogie and
yes, yeah,
just an amazing band. And they had a singer in Danny Bowes, one of the best blues rock singers I've ever heard. And what I think one of the things that always annoyed me was they could never break the US. And I talked to Harry a little bit about that. And when we actually had Mike Fraser on about The Strange Highways,
mm-hmm.
I actually talked to Mike and said, which band did he produce that never made it big?
Yeah.
And he actually mentioned Dan Reed Network, but I actually mentioned to him Thunder.
Yeah.
And he even said himself that they were big in the UK and Europe. And I think if there had been a US-based band,
yeah,
they would have blown up here. And it's just because they were based in the UK at the time that they never really broke here, and they had touring problems, mm-hmm. and I think they were as well. They were a couple of years too late.
Yeah.
I think the debut came out around 1990. I think if it had come out in, say, 86,
yeah,
and they had a couple of albums to build their career before grunge killed them,
maybe.
I think they would have been enormous in the States.
Yeah, but I guess to kind of be really bizarre in an odd way that the fact that they didn't come out earlier, because if they'd come out earlier and they were like in the States or had broken in the States, I think they would have had a lot more pressure to do different or do things differently.
The style of the music,
yeah,
and the image.
You know,
yeah,
what I mean? That they were able to maintain what they wanted to do, which I think endears them a lot to the UK fans, is they didn't change to like get somewhere else, that they were always true to themselves, right? Because I mean, that's a big thing in Europe and the UK, right? Is that you can sniff out a band that's bullshit, that's doing it and changing themselves or posing or
that
whatever.
That shit doesn't fly in Europe.
Exactly.
That
exactly.
Shit does not. They'll smell the bullshit,
yeah,
from 50 yards
so
away.
So I think that they, you know, they were able to maintain that, and you get a really consistent product from them. You know, you know what you're going to expect, and they get along, and they get better and better all the time. And you don't have that like dog of an album in there because somebody told them to do something different and stuff like that. So consistency, you know, it's there.
Well, again, like I always wanted to have someone from Thunder on the show because they're one of these bands that I think for a lot of the people in the US, they might know the name. So I'm actually getting a band that's like from the late 80s.
Yeah.
It was an old band that, yeah, a lot of people viewed them as a new band.
Yeah.
And they brought out a fantastic record, Wonder Days. When we had Joel on at the end of the year, Joel McIver is doing, yeah, the book. He was like raving about the album, and me too. Like, it was just a huge comeback for him.
Yeah.
And they've got the All You Can Eat package out now, which is, you know, a DVD. They have of a documentary on the band. They've got a live CD that they were all one take recorded in RIK Studios. And then they've got a live CD of a show they did, I think, for fan club members only.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny Bowes, the singer, manages the band.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're very, very self-contained. And, you know, they're playing Wembley Arena in 2016.
Yeah, which is, yeah, something I'm glad you brought that up, too, because, you know, when Richie's talking to Harry, he is talking about things that are coming up, which were really, you know, we're doing this on, what's today, the 13th?
Mm.
And so they were, like, imminently coming up. So obviously, by the time, from Richie talking to them to us being able to air that, they've done some of those things already. So just when you're listening and going, what the hell is he talking about? They already did this. So tell you that up front, this, including the Wembley show.
Yeah, yeah, which is, you know, that's 14, 15,000 people.
Yeah.
That's a hard rock band.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're a huge name,
yeah,
that'll tell you how big they are in right. back in England. And I'm just glad they're back together. Harry said they're recording new material, which I'm rave, you know, I'm chuffed about, because the last record was massive to me. It was one of my favorite albums of last year. Uh-huh. Completely blew me away. I think it came out, another one that came out really early in the year, but it was so good, I never forgot it.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to it the last couple of days in the car, like, because I knew I was talking to Harry, and band has lost nothing.
Uh-huh.
Still, Danny's still an amazing singer. Luke Morley, fantastic songwriter. Like, a lot of you guys are probably all new names to you guys, but, you know, go check him out. If you like that 70s bluesy, hard rock sounding stuff with a vocalist to die for, like, you know, give this band a spin. You know? They're an amazing band.
Yep, good stuff. So why don't we do that? Let's roll Richie's conversation with the legendary Harry James.
Focus on Metal, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, mate. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Where are you based? Are you in London?
Yeah, East London.
All right, excellent. And I know you got a tour starting on Monday.
We're off to Nottingham.
Okay.
It's all very exciting times at the moment for Thunder. So, really looking forward to it.
Excellent.
We've been rehearsing today, so just to make sure... we know the songs anyway. you'd think we know the songs by now anyway.
Yeah.
Just to blow out a few cobwebs and stuff like that. So, all good, mate. All good. Yeah, band sounding great.
We're pretty good friends with Mike Fraser and Joel MacGyver, who I know is doing a book on you guys. How's the book going? Has he interviewed you much for it?
We've had a few words. Loads of work's gone into that, actually.
Yeah.
So far, I don't quite know when that's going to show its ugly mug just yet, but Joel's a cracking fella, actually.
Yeah, he's
very nice man.
Yeah, he's a top guy. We've had him on the show 5 times, and he's just a great guy to talk to. He's a brilliant writer as well.
So you
couldn't have picked a nicer guy to do the book.
No, he's great. Well, you know, what we've done so far is, I mean, we haven't seen anything that he's written, but the interviews that he's done with all the members of the band have all gone very well. He's managed to get everything out of us that, you know, we need to tell him, you know what I mean? So all our little secrets and stuff, that'll all be coming out, you know.
I'm sure he's probably got some stuff out here that you completely forgot about.
Yeah, he probably has, actually. He probably has. But, I mean, there was a couple of times, actually, he prompted me to say, what about this and what about that? And I was going, oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. He's on the ball.
And did he do the face-to-face interview or the phone interview with you guys?
No, face-to-face.
Yeah, because...
It's better that way, really, from that point of view, because he, you know, he needs to, I mean, I met him in a pub, we had a nice pub lunch and a couple of pints of Guinness, he had a couple of pints of Guinness, I was driving, it's all good, looking forward to that, actually.
Yeah.
It'll be quite a good read.
Yeah,
for the Thunder enthusiast, you know, so
yeah,
really good.
So of course, Harry, like, we're over here in the US, and that was a market that you guys never actually cracked. I'm sure it wasn't like through lack of effort on you guys. Can you put your finger on anything that probably made you guys not crack the market over here?
Well, we were due to come over early 90s. That really was the, I mean, we were doing very well in Europe and what have you, and we were going to come over and we were going to support Dave Lee Roth and one other, can't remember who else, Cinderella. There was a tour booked, and basically it was the height of grunge, so all people wanted to do is listen to Nirvana, you know. And our American manager at the time, he sort of sent us a message saying, unpack the, it's not, the tickets aren't selling at all. You know, it's a bit like the Titanic. Unfortunately, you come over and do this, you're going down. So we kind of unpacked. We did a few shows in the States prior to that. And they went really well. It was a really, really, it was quite exciting times. But like I say, Nirvana decided to become popular, and that sort of put the kibosh on sort of more mainstream rock. So we didn't come, which was a real shame. Real shame. And since then, it's been difficult for us to get over there since then, you know, so hopefully one day we will. You never know. I mean, it's not all over. It's not all over yet, because it's going great for us, you know. Like I said, it's very exciting times, Richard. You know, it's really going very well.
Yeah. Now, are we talking that tour now? Are we talking Backstreet Symphony or Laughing on Judgment Day?
I think it was probably Laughing on Judgment Day, actually. I think it was probably second.
Okay.
Second album. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I did want to talk about, you went on hiatus after the Bang record.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, Ben got sick. He had cancer. Do you think his recovery, it was a huge catalyst on getting you guys back together?
To be honest with you, yes, it probably was. But we decided that... We decided we were gonna give it another go anyway, and yes, it probably did have something to do with it. But to be honest with you, that shook us a little bit, as it would do, and obviously it shook Ben. Thankfully, he's back to his old self now. But we decided we were going to make another album and you know, make a comeback, because we were kind of in semi-retirement. You know, we were sort of being offered lots of festival dates. We supported Whitesnake and who was headlining? Journey. a couple of years ago, and we sort of turned around to each other and we thought, this is going so well. You know, we're going down so well. We're playing all the old stuff. Let's do some new stuff. You know, let's make another album. There's obviously a big love for the band. We should do this, you know. So, on Wonder Days was recorded, starting last, not last summer, I lose track of time, getting old, you see. We just cracked on with it, you know, and it was released probably about a year ago now, and it's done brilliant, absolutely fantastic, beyond our wildest dreams, to be honest with you. We're just cracking on. In fact, we're writing for the next album now.
Excellent.
And hoping to start very soon. So, all to be confirmed. But get these shows done next week. Massive show at Wembley next Saturday. So this time next week, I shall be a very nervous chap, waiting to go on, because we've done Wembley before, but always wanted to headline it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a big thing for me, and it's a big thing for the band, of course. You know.
Yeah. Can you tell us about the emotions that were going in the room when you all got back together with Ben and started playing the first time?
It was almost like you'd never been away. Obviously, we'd had some promo and a few shows booked, and he was too weak, really. He was recovering. He was too weak to actually do the shows. But actually, when he came into the room and plugged the guitar in, you know, it was like you got your five mates together again. You know what I mean? Oh, sorry, four mates. There's five of us. It was a special moment, sort of, you know, having him back. Not to say, I mean, the guy that filled in for him, Pete Shoulder, is a fantastic player himself, and you know, he did a fantastic job, really good job. So, but Ben was missed. Don't get me wrong, he was missed.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk to you. We never had anyone on from the band about the Wonder Days album. I think it is an amazing album.
I think so as well.
Yeah. Luke Morley, he's lost nothing in songwriting. I don't know how he does it, but he has these huge riffs. But what I love about the band is he leaves the space in the songs.
Yeah.
And what I love about your playing, Harry, is that you don't overplay the space. You know, you don't put in fills and everything. You really know how to sit back and let the song flow.
Yeah, that's something. Although my dad wasn't a drummer as such, he could think a good drum track, basically. And he, from very early days, he sort of advised me. He said, "Look, play with a band. You know, don't be an individual. Be a part of a team. You know what I mean? That be a team player." I suppose I must have taken that on board from an early age, you know. Never been one to do loads of drum solos and stuff like that. And like you say, Luke's songwriting, it just gets better and better, to be honest with you. Some of the new songs he's come up with recently are also really very, very, very special as well. So, I think we aim to go one better with the next album, when it's recorded and when it's released, you know. So, it's all good, all very positive. But he's an excellent songwriter. So much so, I mean, I come up with a few ideas now and again, and so do a few of the chaps in the band. And it's very difficult to get a song or an idea in there, you know, because what he comes up with is so strong, and you've got to go with that. He's a very talented man.
Yeah, the song on the album that stands out for me is "The Rain." Amazing track.
Oh yeah. That's cracking. That's Thunderstar, but it's a little bit different for us. But it worked. It worked definitely.
Yeah, and Resurrection Day is another great song.
Yeah. Been playing that over and over again today, funnily enough, at rehearsal. So, yeah. No, that's and the good thing is with the new stuff, Richard, it complements a lot of the old stuff. I mean, we've done many gigs with the new album. Songs from the new album, I should say. And they kind of fit in really well with all the, like, Love Walked In and Dirty Love and some of the older standards, Thunder standards. So, which is a great sign, really, that you've made a really good album. Great songs, you know, obviously the playing's pretty good. Unfortunately, the drumming lets it down a
bit. I wouldn't say that.
we're very happy with the way things are going. It's all good. And then this tour next week, you know, I really can't wait. It's like we've got screens and all sorts of stuff, and also with the latest DVD, All You Can Eat. That was number one. Went straight to number one in the DVD charts. And I believe it's still up there. I think it's number two this week. So it's definitely selling. So that's good.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that, Harry. It's got a Live in the Studio CD. It's got a 70-minute documentary on ye guys and a live show. Do you want to just talk a little bit about each of those?
Yeah. The documentary, you know, we thought it'd be quite nice to do a personal, like, interview DVD where you get a little bit of insight into what the band's all about, really, and how relaxed we are and how we get on very well with each other, you know. It was very strange not being in, you know, the band not happening. Yeah, especially in 2009 when we split.
Mm-hmm.
That was very, very strange. And it's just great to be back with the boys, you know. Boys, they're men. They're men. That was good. We also decided to do something we've never done before, and many bands don't actually do it. It's just go in the studio and play through all the good old songs, you know what I mean, and songs from the new album. A couple of covers in there.
Mm-hmm.
They come out really well. And we did a live gig at the Brooklyn Bowl as well, and that's come out very well. It's proved very popular with the lovers of Thunder, and hopefully it'll stay in the, you know, top two for a few weeks more, you know.
Yeah, so did the cameras follow you around a lot? Like, were they really intrusive? Were they with you, like, 24-7? Or did you, like, edit it down to certain times of the day?
No, not really. Not too bad.
Yeah.
It's never nice if you've got a camera in your face all the time for 24. But, no, it was quite easy, quite a natural thing for us to do. It's a bit scary, really. I'm sure we'll do it again. I don't know when, but I'm sure we'll do it again.
Yeah. Now, another thing I want to ask you about, Harry, I do remember years ago, and I'm nearly sure you still do this, you were very big as a band on doing charity shows.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of fans got to recognise the covers you were going to do. And you used to do a show every Christmas, I believe. Do you still do that, those shows?
Given half a chance, we will. The thing is, you see, you got to balance these things. You can't do too much. If you want to do your own tour, you can't actually do, you know, the promoters don't really like you doing your own Christmas show because it takes away from what you're going to do on your main tour, you know. So it's a timing thing, really, Richard.
Yeah.
If we get the chance to do one, we'll do one, but hopefully we'll be doing the next album will be out in the first quarter of next year.
Okay.
So it's highly unlikely that we'll probably do a Christmas show this year, but maybe the maybe next year, 2017.
Okay.
You never know.
Okay. I want to ask you, of course, you got Danny is managing you guys now.
Yeah.
And You know, what do you think the biggest lesson he learned from being a musician that he brought into management?
Well, I think he just understands, doesn't he? You know, if you're in a band, you kind of understand he's good at timing. He's good with people. He DJs on Planet Rock as well.
Okay.
So you know, he's just he likes a chat, does Danny? And he's a very, very pleasant, very pleasant, very pleasant man, very pleasant man.
Yeah.
And he's my mate.
Okay.
I think, you know, he looks out for what's best for the band, of course, and he looks out for what's best for himself as a musician. He's absolutely perfect.
Absolutely
perfect for us, because he knows he's good at timing. He's good at getting timing right with regards to when we should maybe tour or release an album. He's just generally an all-round nice chap as well, you know what I mean? So, but he knows when to put his foot down as well.
Yeah, so you wouldn't say, like, since he's been the manager, that your relationships have changed amongst each other? Because sometimes, you know, they've got to be more... The manager's got to take a more objective or a bigger picture view than the musicians would like. So, but that didn't happen with you guys, obviously.
No, not at all, not at all. The thing is, Richard, in the past, over the years, with going back to Nothing Fancy and Terraplane, we've had some pretty good advice, but we've had some pretty bad advice as well on the way where our future sort of should be with regards to the music we play, the clothes we wear, all sorts of stuff, the hair, although mine's not changed, of course, over many years. But yeah, it's just, you know, we've had some ups and downs with management. So, you know, but he's on the ball. He's on the ball, Richard. He's very, very much all for the band. You know, he's sort of taken on a few other artists as well. So, he's great.
He's great. And I have to say, Harry, he's still an amazing vocalist. He has lost nothing in his voice.
I think he's still the best rock singer in the UK.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky because I play with, when Thunder are not on the road, I'm obviously playing with Magnum.
Mm-hmm.
A fabulous vocalist in Bob Catley.
Yeah.
You know, he's a bit of a legend, is our Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm kind of blessed and very lucky man to be playing with two incredible rock bands, you know.
Yeah, I just have one more Thunder question for you, and then I just want to ask you a little bit about the new Magnum album that's coming out.
Yeah.
What are your memories of playing the Monsters of Rock? I believe you played the show with Aerosmith headlining. Do you have any fond memories of that?
Oh, fantastic memories. But the weird thing was, prior to the show, Danny had a bad virus and lost his voice. And this is it's been well documented throughout the years with regards to, would he be able to sing? Wouldn't he? You know, I think we came on with She's So Fine, and you know, he started singing like a bird. You know, so whatever antibiotics or whatever he'd taken, well, it would have been antibiotics almost certainly, worked. You know, but we weren't sure whether he was going to be able to sing or not. You know, so from prior to the show, you know, it was incredible nerves. Because it was the biggest show of our lives, you know, and it made a difference for us, no doubt about it. Danny sang like a bird, and the whole day went smashing, absolutely smashing. And we had John Colubner listening to us in the Aerosmith tour bus, thinking, "Oh, I've got to sign these guys." So you know, we managed to get an American recording contract with Geffen out of that. So. And, you know, we made a video for Dirty Love, and that was, I think that was number one on MTV for about 6 weeks solid or something like that. So, good times, good memories, great memories.
Yeah.
And the band played great as well, so, you know, that Dunrock.
I'm trying to remember. Were you special guests on that? You were second on the bill?
No, we opened that day.
Oh, okay.
1990. It was us, then there was Choir Boys, then there was, can't remember who was third. It was Whitesnake as well. Plus, Whitesnake were headlining. I think Aerosmith was second on the bill.
Okay.
So
that'd be the Slip of the Tongue album for them, then.
Yeah.
So, of course, Harry, I want to talk to you as well about the, you've got a new album coming out with Magnum, Sacred Blood, Divine Lies.
When desolation is king, breathe for the souls that are dead, and to the gods they will sing, watch as the rivers turn red. Tomorrow bring, and will the show drag? Disregard everything.
This is the second album you've played on with them, is that correct?
That's wrong.
Okay, that's well. I have the only album I have is the previous one, Escape from the Shadow Garden, which I think is fabulous.
Yeah. No. I think every album I've done with the boys, the men, it's just got progressively better and better.
Yeah.
And this one is no exception.
Okay, yeah, because you got Tony Clarkin, who's an amazing songwriter as well in his own right.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and him and Bob have been together, 40-odd years now?
I think it was 72.
Yeah.
1972.
Yeah, that's incredible, isn't it? How the guys can stay together that long.
But Danny and Luke have been like friends until then. I mean, I never came on the scene with Danny and Luke until, I think it was 81 or 82, probably 81 actually.
Yeah.
Might have even been earlier than that, a couple of years earlier than that. So, I mean, I've known them for quite a long time. Tony and Bob, I've only known them since the beginning of the turn of the century.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're relatively new friends of mine, I suppose, compared to that. But, we all get on famously, like the Thunder Boys, you know?
Yeah.
But this one comes out Friday the 26th over here, so I'm not sure what date it comes out in the States.
Yeah, it's probably around the same time, I'd say.
But no, I've done every album they've apart from one that they've done since the turn of the century, so you'll have to forgive me for not knowing how many, but it's
I didn't know how many, Harry, so you're okay. No, it's my fault.
It's probably about four or five I've done with them.
Okay.
With Magnum. So,
yeah. You ever had any?
Like I say, without wishing to repeat myself, each album's got better and better, playing wise and dare I say song wise. And this latest one, I mean, I've lived with it for quite a while. Your avid Magnum fan is chomping at the bit to get a hold of it, but they will do over the next couple of weeks. So.
Yeah. Have you ever had any scheduling problems with, like, you're trying to juggle Snake Charmer with Magnum with Thunder?
Yeah, I've had one or two with Magnum and Thunder, yeah, we got round it.
Okay,
it's quite at the moment. It's quite good in that Magnum are releasing an album this year, and we'll be off on tour April and May. Starting Scandinavia, the middle of April, go to Germany, bit of Switzerland, and then back to the UK for some shows, and that'll take us right through to the end of May. And then maybe some, I think we've got one festival booked so far, confirmed, and maybe one or two others in the summer, and also the same with Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
There's one or two that are possibles, but yeah, all good.
Yeah,
it's worked out fine.
Yeah, I think people in the US don't realize that, like, Thunder artists, like, they're like an institution in the UK as a band. Like, they were pretty big towards the end of the 80s, and then they released albums in the 90s, and they were like you guys in Thunder. They went on hiatus for a while and got back together, but the music is still as strong as it always was.
I think so. You know, and if you look at the Magnum fan page and all that, you know, you get Magnum fans posting a lot of the old stuff, which we do to this day. There's a huge love for Magnum, huge love. Like I said earlier, I don't want to repeat myself, but I'm just a lucky man, really, that I'm involved in Magnum and Thunder, you know.
Yeah, and is there any update on Snake Charmer? Do you think you're going to be doing anything with those guys again?
Nothing confirmed yet, but yeah, watch this space. Who knows?
And of course, I really like that album as well. Chris is an incredible singer as well on
He's
that.
He's brilliant, fantastic, and a very, very good songwriter as well. Yeah, it works. It just works.
Yeah.
Just works. So, Neil Murray, incredible bass player, bit of a legend. Mickey Moody, who's unfortunately Mickey's not with us anymore. He's gone off to do his own project and doing a few other things. But we have a replacement. Another legend, and Laurie Weisfield, another legend, great guitar player. And we got Adam Wakeman, son of Rick, on keys. And like you said earlier, Chris Uzi, great singer.
Yeah, so it looks like you got a busy year ahead of you then, Harry.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. I thrive on it, mate. Love it.
Yeah, so before I let you go, can you just tell us where people can order the All You Can Eat album? Just give us the website, Twitter, Facebook, all that.
It's thunderonline.com. You go there and you'll see everything you need to see regarding all things Thunder, and you'll be able to order All You Can Eat, which, as I said earlier, he's doing very well. So we must be doing something right, Richard.
Okay.
Must be doing something right.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on. And, hopefully you'll get over stateside. It's one of my biggest regrets, actually, living in Ireland. I never actually got a chance to see you guys play. I don't know what he actually played much in Ireland.
No, it's very expensive, actually, for a band to get to Ireland and play. Don't ask me the ins and outs of that, because it's I think it's quite complicated. In I think you need. Although having said that, Magnum are over in late May, but you need. But it's part of a big tour, so it's probably worth. You know, it works. You know, it will work in the scheme of things. But it costs a lot of money for bands to go over to Ireland to play. Because a lot of the time you can't take your own gear it just costs a lot of money to play, which is a regret, because every time Thunder have been to Ireland in the past, it's been absolutely fantastic, you know. The Irish definitely know how to enjoy themselves,
Yeah, they do. Yeah, so before I let you go, Harry, do you have a favourite Thunder album?
Wonder Days.
The new one. I'd agree with you. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Wonder Day.
Yeah. All right, Harry. Well, I'll leave you go, and best of luck in the tour. I hope it goes really well, and I have to say I'm very glad you're doing Wembley Arena. A band in your genre can actually, you know, sell enough tickets to actually play a venue like that. That says a lot about you guys and the way you treat your fans.
Yeah, cheers, mate. thank you. Yeah, we can't wait.
All right, Harry. Well, I'll leave you go. And thanks for coming on the show.
Cheers, Richard.
Yeah. All right. I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
All the best.
All right, Harry. Thanks.
Cheers.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
That is a wrap for another week here at Focus on Metal. Big thanks to Harry James for coming on the show, talking to us all about what is going on with Thunder and Magnum. And next week, we will have another UK native on the line. That would be the legendary, and I do mean legendary, Glenn Hughes. Yep, you heard that right. Glenn Hughes right here on Focus on Metal next week. Glenn will be talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, about his tour, his new recordings coming up, and even a little bit of soccer talk with Richie. Of course, those two guys don't refer to it as soccer. They do refer to it as football. Anyways, once again, that is a wrap for this week. In case you're curious about what the heck is up with my voice this week, just got back from the dentist, got a giant wad of cotton in one side of my mouth, so a little bizarre doing the audio this week, but nonetheless, Focus on Metal must carry on. So while you're waiting for us to carry on next week and keep up with us at focusonmetal.net, focusonmetal.blogspot.com. You can get a hold of Richie on Facebook, and you can also keep track of us on Twitter. And also be sure to check out all of our fellow shows over at blastsyndicate.com. And although they are not a member of the Blast Syndicate, I would also urge you to check out some of the killer, killer shows that our friends over at Decibel Geek do as well. Chris and Aaron do a great show. In fact, I don't think I've heard those guys do a bad show yet. So you can head over to DecibelGeek.com and check out everything that Chris and Aaron are up to. And they also have a great group of writers doing an incredible amount of reviews as well. So a very cool site to check out if you want to keep up on all of the latest releases. So I am out of here. So for Richie and myself and everybody here at Focus on Metal, have yourselves a great metal week. And until we talk to you again next week with Glenn Hughes, remember,
Focus on Metal.
Everything else is insignificant.
Still here? It's over. Go home.